Thank you, Father Craig. Oh, it's so good to have everybody here with us this morning. Whether you're joining us here at St. George's or whether you're joining us with live stream, I'm so happy to see all of you this morning. Heavenly Father, send your spirit that my words may move those who hear them this morning, and may we carry that truth with us today and this week. Amen.
Amen.
They always say that when you're beginning to write a homily, you need a snappy title and a great intro. And I don't know if I have any of that, but I've called this Sowing Seeds with Good Intentions. It's sort of a reflection of my life. Boy, what a dry summer we have had. It's the driest June on record, then the driest July, and now, well, it's not much better in August. Each growing season presents its own challenges for farmers and gardeners alike. The prolonged heat and humidity this year has made it hard to keep my flower beds looking vibrant and healthy, even alive. Oh, my lawns are brown and crunchy. Brown and crunchy, that's how I like my potato chips, not my lawn. Oh, one thing about the drought conditions, weeds will not be deterred. They proliferate, do they not? As I look into my backyard at the dismay of the trumpet vine, which has sensed our seasonal weakness this year, and I can see dozens upon dozens, not just one or two, but dozens upon dozens of new trumpet vines coming up in the lawn. Now, I love those gorgeous orange flowers on the vines as much as the hummingbirds do. But in my lawn, my brown and dry lawn, I'm not so crazy about that. I throw up my hands in despair, and then I grab my Roundup and I begin to do battle in the backyard. You know, I remember my dad at the dining room table spending some of the last weeks of winter as the snow melted and the days got longer, with seed catalogs spread out on the dining room table, trying to figure out what flowers and vegetables they would plant. Sometimes it was flowers, sometimes it was vegetables, but every year it was both. And during the summer months, he and my mother pulled weeds and they nattered. Nattered. Boy, that's a word that I hardly ever hear. And it came to me, thank you, Jesus, and I thought, nattered. It's onomatopoeia. It sounds just like what it is. Here we are griping, as my dad would say. Well, the two of them nattered about how the weeds seemed to find places to grow, where they had been watered and fertilized with the vegetables and the flowers, and those are the things they hoped to harvest. They had to harvest both. I follow in their footsteps, and I natter with the best of them, as does my daughter out in Duncan. We both complained last week on the phone about plants and herbs that the heat has permanently killed and what we're going to plant next year to try and right that wrong. This morning, we read from Isaiah a similar kind of hope for planting and harvesting about how the writer's beloved had planted a vineyard on a fertile hill. This gardener cleared the land of stones and planted it with choice vines, the best. A hedge around the vineyard's perimeter was planted to protect it and keep out intruders. And once the vines were planted, there was a stone tower constructed right in the middle where the grapes would be harvested and turned into fine wine. But to the owner's dismay, what it produced was wild grapes. When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Isaiah goes on, and he explains how angry God was. He removed the hedge. He broke down the wall of the tower. He turned it into waste, and it became overgrown with briars and thorns, and commanded the clouds that they not rain upon it. That's the kiss of death, I would say. Well, you know, there are so many stories of seeds in the Bible. Even the tiniest seeds, the mustard seed being scattered upon the ground. Some of the seed fell on fertile ground and flourished, and some fell on stony ground and withered, yielding no fruit. In the end, we're meant to understand that we are like seeds scattered, or good vines that are planted with good intentions. We each have the potential to yield fruit, but what kind? Good grapes for wine, or wild grapes for vinegar? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the people of Judah and his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but he saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. Those words might very well be an apt description of our world today. August 2022. Or any parent might very well be upset over the results yielded by his or her own offspring.
Not talking about me, I'm just saying.
Good intentions gone AWOL. And I confess here this morning, my own parents shook their heads many times in my life, wondering how could I have made such mistakes. And yet, here I am, Catherine, yielding wild grapes and hoping for good grapes. But thank goodness they didn't give up on me. And thank goodness neither does our father. They must have had some faith that the lessons I learned from them would in some way, somehow, and at some time bear fruit. Good grapes revived. God led the Egyptian slaves through the Red Sea to the Promised Land, and the chariots of the Pharaoh were swallowed up by the waters of the sea, and all of those men drowned. God promised his faithful people they would be rewarded for their faith in a new and promised land. There was going to be milk and honey and manna enough to feed all. But not all people were grateful for what they'd been given. Remember, they wandered for 40 years. There were some good days, and there were some bad days. And what did they do? They nattered! Of course they did. And eventually God would show them a way forward, a way of hope, and that was going to be a true testament to faith. But sometimes it is like that in life. We believe we planted good seeds or the best vines in our children, in our marriage, in our friendships, in our neighborhoods and communities, and yet once planted, we can't always control their actions, their words, and they too become like wild grapes. Good news that God always lets us start over. All we need to do is to ask. What then do we do to remedy the situation or change those that we love and we care about? We can only pray for God to intervene and show us the way. Pray for him to walk with us and with those we love. But how? We might pray according to the words in the song that Father Craig read this morning. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. Let your hand be upon the people of your right hand, the people of mankind you have made so strong for yourself. And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and you shall be saved. But how? How do we become restored? How do we find the courage? How do we discern our path? The great question of how is answered in Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish with others who were disobedient. By faith, many prophets conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. And they won strength out of weakness. By faith.
And does this all happen easily or instantly? Nope. We only have to look at our own world to see how long things are going to take. As soon as you put two persons in a place, you find two different opinions. And the notion of using common sense for common good often evaporates. And then it escalates into harsh words and raised fists and finally into violence. And then other people step in and they take sides. Oh, total chaos and utter destruction where nobody wins. So we ask ourselves, what do we make of all that is currently happening in our own world and in our own lives, of secrets unearthed and truths laid bare? How do we repair? How do we make reconciliation and peace verbs instead of passive nouns and cliches? Peace and reconciliation. The Gospel of Luke proclaims that Christ came to bring fire to the earth. No, not peace, but rather division. Well, what's meant by that? Jesus came to earth to save us, didn't he? Indeed, Christ came, but remember, he was fully human and fully divine. He knew his fate from the moment of conception, even before birth. And as he turned 30, he could feel the sands in the hourglass were quickly running out. There was an urgency for him to rally those who would follow him. So people were divided. There were those who followed him, and that created division in families, in the church, and in the world. The same Jesus who preached peace and love and acceptance overturned the money changers' tables in the temple. And what statement did that make? Even today, there are so many places where, in order to practice our faith, we may be in grave danger. Even today, 2022. Christ planted the seeds. He planted the vineyards, intending a good harvest. But there's no guarantee when it comes to people that they will follow the intention and the design of the great Creator. No guarantees. Fertile ground or stony ground, good grapes or wild grapes. But this does not mean that we should not take a chance, that we should not quit trying, not quit praying daily by faith. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is our call to action. By faith, we can choose to live in the sure hope, or we can choose to live in fear, weighed down by the sorrows of life circumstances or loneliness or illness. We can be the ones who are the light and the hope that those in the dark will find the courage to come and walk with us, witnesses of all that is good and right in the world, hopeful and joyous. But how? Remember, the Bible is our GPS for life. Look at the advice from Psalms. Look to the words from Hebrews to give us direction and a clear way forward. Will you choose to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ in your home and in your community and let your actions world to heal and make a positive difference, one person at a time? Or will you continue to just stand rooted to the spot and natter? A clanging bell all sound in fury and signifying nothing. Apologies to William Shakespeare. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat on the right hand of the throne of God, and there he sits, even today. The way forward is evident and clear. Will you walk with me in faith and continue to plant and prune the good vines? I know you do. I believe in what, and you believe in what you cannot see, rather with what you know to be true. The choice is clear. Will the journey be easy? Not always. But we are comforted to know that we do not walk alone. Look around you this morning and look upwards. You are not.